Welcome to the podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together the message and a taste of the music that we experience each Sunday morning as we root our lives in grace through worship here at The Table. More and more people are finding their way to The Table through this podcast. So if you are one of the many, many folks who tune in each week from other parts of California, other parts of our country, or even from other places in the world, we would invite you to take a next step in growing in faith here at The Table. You can do that online at our website, thetableumc.org. There you'll find links to social media and also a way to make a deep commitment to our community to express how you hope to root your life in grace, to grow in faith, to reach in love, and to give generously. If you're one of the many people listening to this but haven't quite walked through the door of the sanctuary yet on a Sunday morning, we would love to welcome you into the beauty of this sanctuary. We gather each Sunday for worship at 9:30 and at 11. Our address is 5265 H Street in East Sacramento.
There will be no love that's dying here, for flowers in my vase is not a sign we're dead. I paid for three, a sweet old lady gave me four instead. There's some doubt that's out about this love, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me.
To share a message this morning, and within it are two videos. And I just want to say up front, we're going to post these videos, so you don't need to worry about it. We'll put links on our Facebook page for everyone. Because the second one, unless you speak French, it has subtitles, and they're hard to read. So I'm just warning y'all who chose to sit in the back yet again, over and over. There are reasons to sit up close. So, let's pray. Loving God, we gather in worship in hope that your love and your hearts will work within us to love our neighbors this day and every day. Amen. I want to share a little bit of a story about a woman whose name is Marguerite Barankitse. She is a humanitarian who created a place that's called Maison Shalom, House of Peace. And she created Maison Shalom out of the carnage of the Burundian genocide. In nearly 20 years of existence, Maison Shalom has grown from one small building to include schools, a hospital, agricultural cooperatives, a microfinance system, and many other projects. That's Marguerite. Maison Shalom began after Marguerite saved 25 children who became orphaned in a horrific night, one night, of mass killing during the civil war between the Tutsi and Hutu tribes. It is compelling that Maggie has always been clear that her mission is not to build an orphanage or even actually to help children, but her mission is rather to help raise everyone in God's love to create a new generation that will somehow, in hope, break the cycle of violence that exists in her country. In addition to raising thousands of children in this way, she regularly visits the prisons of those who attacked her on that night, the very ones who killed her family, her best friend, and her best friend's husband, and the families of all of the children. The mission of Maison Shalom has expanded to the communities in which the children live, and its holistic initiatives seek to improve the lives of everyone. And in her life and witness, we think that we have the opportunity to see that love wins. We see that people are never condemned to a world that is bent on destruction and death. And that when love goes to work, we see in Maison Shalom and the life of Marguerite a new world that is governed by joy and peace, and it results in beauty and mutual flourishing becomes possible. Because of Maison Shalom for the world, there will be no hope dying there. Let's watch.
She calls it Maison Shalom. It's here in the Burundian village of Ruigi that Maggie Barankitsi has transformed the lives of 30,000 orphans. Maggie has rejected Burundi's past of ethnic hatred, poverty, and genocide. Instead, she's writing a new story. She's created a place where children can be raised in a vision of love and God's abundance. Maison Shalom now includes a farm, hospital, movie theater, swimming pool, and mechanics shop, among other businesses.
We Christian, our duty, it's not to go every day in the church and praying, and then it's to give back the dignity to the human person, because all the project is surrounding this human person. Yes, we can give clothes, we can feed the person, we can, but if he has no dignity, it's not.
It began at the start of Burundi's civil war. Maggie, an ethnic Tutsi, was working as a secretary at the Catholic bishop's house in Ruigi. She had adopted 7 children, 4 Hutus and 3 Tutsis. In October 1993, Tutsi assailants attacked the compound. Maggie was stripped naked and tied up. 72 Hutus were killed before her eyes, including priests and nuns. One was her best friend, Juliet.
My friend, Juliet, looked at me and said, please, educate my children, read and reset, like your own children. Give them the love. But I prefer to die with my husband. And then they cut the head and they give me.
Maggie's 7 adopted children survived, and she managed to save another 25 children as well. But she didn't stop there. This horrific experience was the start of Maggie's calling, not just to save children, but to proclaim the gospel message of love by raising a new generation without the hatred and bitterness she already saw growing in their eyes.
Every day, I improvise new life because love makes us inventor.
Emmanuel Kotongole is a Catholic priest and professor at Duke Divinity School. He's the author of The Sacrifice of Africa, a book about Christian leaders in Africa, including Maggie.
Maggie says love has made me an inventor. But in order to understand what she says and what she means by love has made me an inventor, you need to go back a little and discover that for Maggie, love is her true identity. She is, in a way, entering into that story of love and kind of allowing that story to, if you like, explode from within in order to show what it means. That's what she says, love has made me an inventor. Kind of living within that story of love, in a way, allows me to invent a new future. Being an inventor is about inventing a new future of being God's beloved.
But Maggie's calling was to do more than just protect children. 18 years after that terrible day, Maison Shalom is thriving. With Maggie as the visionary catalyst, Maison Shalom is building an enduring and sustainable institution. Maison Shalom challenges the notion that Burundi is a poor country. It challenges the idea that Burundi's 600,000 orphans cannot thrive, that hatred and ethnic divisions must continue.
It's so stupid to hate the others because they are different than us, because it's harmony. To see Hutu and Tutsi together Congolese, other white person. God wants to make, it's so beautiful to see those differences become richness.
Maggie insists that the people of Burundi can live full, rich lives. This includes entertainment, such as watching movies and swimming.
When they ask me, you want to make a cinema in Ruyigi, where is a war, and they will destroy everything. And why a cinema and a swimming pool? And they say, I said, why you must always give us clothes and so? We can dream like you.
Maison Shalom now comprises many businesses, including a mechanics school, a tailor's shop, and a hair salon.
You see, to dream also. Not only to, you can sit and they will cut your,
All are part of the vision. The enterprises generate income and make Maison Shalom sustainable, but they also carry a powerful theological message. The swimming pool isn't just a place for the children to have fun. It's a symbol of the waters of baptism built on a killing field.
And then where I have found many bodies, because I am Christian, I said, I will put a swimming pool in, because of the water of our baptized, clean all the sin.
Maison Shalom also includes a morgue. In a nation where killing has become routine, families now have a place to honor their dead.
For this dignity, I must give opportunity to the family to cry.
There's an area for celebrating and feasting. In the midst of so much death, this space speaks to the hope of resurrection.
We never die, really, because we go, our mission on here is finished. We continue another because we are created for eternity.
Maggie is sharing her vision beyond Ruigi and even Burundi. Maison Shalom is a demonstration plot of hope. Her work has been recognized with the Opus Prize, a faith-based humanitarian award for social innovation.
Maggie wants to ferment, if you like, a revolution. She calls it a revolution of love. And so it's quite ambitious. She wants a revolution, not only in Ruhigi, in Burundi, beyond Burundi, to the whole world, a revolution of love.
My dream is to build all over the world Shalom House. To say we are only one family. And it's my dream, like John Lennon and his song, Imagine. This is life.
Under Maggie's leadership, Maison Shalom has become a place of hope, joy, and a new community.
For Maggie, the love of Jesus changes everything. It opens a world of possibility that includes peace and hope and the prospect of living a joyful life together. You heard him lifted up. She says, and I've been watching her interviews all week, over and over, love has made me an inventor. And what she means is that love creates a new imagination, enabling people to see needs and possibilities for flourishing that others cannot really see. Burundi had become a killing field that produced orphans, but this did not confine or limit her imagination. She is a woman of faith and deeply believes the words that are recorded in 2 Corinthians 5. They go like this: so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Over these 3 weeks, our goal has been to ignite our imaginations about the church's purpose as a school for learning how to love and to set our community free, in hopes that maybe we might avoid the wrong paths that so many followers of Jesus before us have taken as they tried to do the work of loving. Norman Wiersbe, as Matt said, is a professor at Duke Divinity School, and his book, Way of Love, is guiding us. And it was there that we both first learned about Marguerite Barankitse, or Maggie, as she is also called. He tells more of her story. In our first week, we were challenged to simply consider and reclaim the central purpose of a church as a school for teaching us to love more fully. And then last week, Matt outlined the way in which we understand that Christian movement, you know, of love from creation to fall to redemption, and this week into hope. The arc of the movement of God's story that's made known in Jesus shapes the values of our school, like it shakes the values of Maison Shalom. Maybe some of you were inspired to claim some of God's story as your own over this last week, as you've been listening to us. Because the hope of our Christian life is grounded in God's story, and it's why we can say, there will be no love dying here. As I said in 2 Corinthians, we hear, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation, everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. It was written by Paul, and that language of new creation echoes the language that he had been raised in and heard in the book of Isaiah, where along with the restoration of all God's people, God in Isaiah promises to the people then a new heaven and a new earth. And Paul takes it further after this passage to speak of God reconciling the whole world to God. And that happens in the life of Christ. And entrusting all of us then to be about the ministry of reconciliation. I think these ancient words find traction today. Before we can reach any measure of reconciliation, we first must treat each other, as Maggie says, with human decency and dignity. And we have to find our Christian identity to do that. In love. Acting out of love, we live into the hope of God's heaven made known here today on earth. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. These words come at the end of a passage in which Paul is actually having to defend himself. He's also having to defend even his ministry from the critics who question that he has integrity. They question what his motives are, and they question his fitness even for ministry. Some of his critics said he doesn't have the credentials. Some say that his speech is unimpressive. And some even say they say physically weak. You know, they're trying to put him down as a man. And what's his comeback? He says, we human beings are obsessed with externals. We are constantly, Paul says, tempted to judge our own worth and that of others according to a human point of view. And we're tempted to view worldly success as a sign that God favors us, that we're privileged. And to view weakness and suffering as a sign of God's absence, or even as though God is punishing you. Paul reminds us that these are human standards of judgment. They are not God's standards. And the scandal of the cross is that God chooses vulnerability, weakness, and suffering and death in order to bring about new life. Because by love, we are raised into God's heaven and we become a new creation. And in this, we find our hope. Norman Wiersbaugh writes it this way. Christian hope rests in the ultimate victory of love over hate. A victory that is signaled in Jesus' own overcoming of violence and death with his resurrection from the dead on Easter. It is easy to be confused, though, he says, about hope. Especially when we take into account that many of us have hearts that are hurting or sick. Multiple times this week, my heart has felt confused and hurting and sick. Around me, I confess, it is really sometimes hard to find any sign of heaven on earth. It seems more like living in hell. Our black and brown brothers and sisters are being killed. Our police, who are sworn to protect and to serve, it seems, have an understanding that we have put upon them that has given away to militarization. Sadly, it is not new. And it's with heavy hearts that many of us must acknowledge that we have been silent and we have looked the other way and we have told generations of people to wait to change this existence and way of living. We've told them to wait far too long. Because, see, that's one of the dangers of how Christians understand heaven. When it's used to escape our troubles, we use heaven that way to avoid the hard work that's being demanded of us for justice. Norman Wiersbe writes it this way: think of the numbers of people throughout the ages who have been told that rather than work to change circumstances of injustice, it is best to accept the pain coming their way and wait patiently for the time when they will enjoy their reward in heaven. See, we've done that for centuries. It is not new. And in his letter written from jail in Birmingham, Alabama, Dr. King addressed this very thing about being told to wait. He said to them who were telling him and his brothers and sisters to wait, "When you have seen vicious mobs lynch your mothers and fathers at will and drown your sisters and brothers at whim, when you have seen hate-filled policemen curse, kick, brutalize, and even kill your black brothers and sisters with impunity, when you see the vast majority of your 20 million Negro brothers and sisters smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society, living constantly at tiptoe stance, never knowing what to expect next and plagued with inner fears and outer resentments, when you are forever fighting a degenerating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait." So much evidence around Dr. King and those in the civil rights movement of our country in that day, so much evidence told them that hope was dying. And I fear that we may be tempted to feel that way too. Certainly, Marguerite Maggie, as she's known, and Maison Shalom has felt that sense that maybe hope really is dying. Because what I want to tell you is there's another chapter to Maison Shalom. And sadly, the violence has returned. And today, Marguerite is a refugee. Let's watch.
Aujourd'hui, ma patrie est de nouveau en proie à la violence. Le président en exercice a violé la Constitution et fait son troisième mandat. Ceux qui ont essayé de protester ont été tués. On voulait me tuer moi aussi. J'ai quitté ma patrie. La maison Shalom au Burundi est à présent fermée car les autorités ont tout fermé. L'année dernière, presque 300 000 personnes ont fui le Burundi. La plupart d'eux vivent dans les camps des réfugiés, dans des conditions fort pénibles. Ma nouvelle mission est de faire naître l'espoir chez ces personnes.
Aujourd'hui, vous restez debout. Never give up. Have you? Hein? Never give up. Welcome, Maggie.
On a fermé nos bâtiments de la maison Shalom. Ce ne sont pas ces briques.
J'ai dit à tout le monde, ils nous ont enterrés, mais ils ont oublié que nous sommes des graines. La maison Shalom au Rwanda essaie de financer la formation des réfugiés. Je veux qu'ils reviennent au Burundi en tant que médecins, agronomes, pas comme des rebelles avec des armes dans les mains.
Ce n'est pas de distribuer la nourriture, c'est de distribuer la dignité. Et un seul peuple. Et nous allons réussir. Et nous allons rentrer debout en chantant les chants de la victoire avec les palmiers, hein, comme dimanche passé. Oui, la victoire. La victoire de l'amour sur la haine.
Here at the table and in our lives, how will we challenge the notion that death is stronger than love? Will we both as a faith community and as individual followers of Jesus be a demonstration plot of hope? I know this sounds ambitious. It is ambitious. To believe that God's love has, does, and will continue to transform the world to a place where all means all, and where everyone lives in peace and harmony, and where there is justice and equality all across God's creation. That is God's heaven on earth. That is our hope. You see, the logic of God's love is such, Norman Wiersbach shares with us, that it seeks to become fully active in everything. This is an astounding claim to make. The life of this world may be punctuated, as we just saw, by all kinds of diminishment and pain and injustice and violence, but the presence of Jesus in the world changes everything. Loneliness gets met with companionship, fear gets turned into hope, violation is overcome by love. And sadness gets turned to joy. You heard Maggie say, I hope, they bury us, but they forget that we are seeds. We here at the table are going to welcome a family into our midst in just a few weeks from now. We do not know them. We do not know what violence has been in their lives before they have made their way towards God's freedom here. What we do know is they are seeds that have refused to die. And we are God's hope. And we want you to join us to say there will be no love dying here.
All that we do without love it means nothing. Grant us the courage to give as your calling.
Let's sing.
Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is darkness, let me shine light and make.